Jesus, I just ask that you would speak through me as we talk about this idea of rest. I pray that every person in this room would feel rested tonight, that something would touch their hearts, that you would speak to people's minds and souls and hearts. We love you. Amen. So think about this. You have the same amount of time in one day that Jesus had in one day. Is that not crazy? I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. Jesus did a lot of things in one day. I do half as much. No, I do like a quarter as much. But the fact is, Jesus was a really, really busy person. When Jesus started his ministry, he was full-time and then some and then some. Like, he literally couldn't get away from people because he was constantly doing stuff. Jesus was a busy person, thousands of followers, preached to crowds every day, spent time healing, helping, preaching, teaching. His energy was used to the max. And yet, in one day, being so busy, he remained so peaceful. Jesus was so busy, but yet he was never overwhelmed. Like, never. Jesus experienced so many stresses during the days, difficulties and pains, and yet he never got cruel, he never got unloving, he never burnt out, and nothing could ever take away his peace of mind or his joy. So, like, do you ever wonder how people can be so busy and so, like, have so much going on, but yet be so peaceful? We all know those weirdos who, like, go through exam season and, like, nothing phases them. Like, that just doesn't happen in university, right? Like, that's our culture. It's like, we don't know how to deal with that. And so how does someone remain nourished? How does their soul remain nourished when life just feels so unmanageable? So this might bring you the question, what does a non-rested soul look like? So if we want a rested soul, how do I know if my soul's not rested? And so, Gavin, you can throw up the slide of the list of things. So you probably can't read this. Well, you might be able to. So these are just some things that I thought of, and this list could be long. But if you guys check off any of these boxes, your soul might need some rest. So one, you could be more irritable than normal. You could be struggling to make decisions. You may be more impulsive. You could have a hard time focusing or concentrating on tasks that you normally could. Things that you used to have fun doing are now draining. Your judgment is suffering. You have less courage. And I would add, which is not on this list, you might be more cruel, you might start to be unloving, or you might start to feel burnt out. These are all different examples of what a tired out soul can be. So I see some smirks, so some of you guys are resonating with this. Maybe during exam season, you'll feel this a bit more if you're not feeling it now, but we have all been there where we actually feel exhausted and our souls don't know what to do. And I want to tell you that your souls will not thrive through all the successes and all the things that you do, but it will thrive simply from being with Jesus. Letting our soul rest in him is the simple answer. If that was like a one-point thing, drop the mic, walk away. That's it. So my main point, our soul needs rest. So if our soul needs rest, then we need a model for rest and what that looks like. So Jesus, perfect example, everybody. I'm going to tell you two stories of how Jesus modeled this exactly, perfectly well, of how a rested life should look. So first story, Jesus was an ultimate leader. He had tons of people following him, and people naturally followed him. And Jesus, before him, there was a man named John the Baptist. Do any of you guys know who that is? Raise of hands if you've heard of him. Okay, John the Baptist was before Jesus. He kind of set the way for Jesus to come and basically told people, hey, there's someone better coming than me. Like, I'm not the Messiah. Jesus is coming. He's going to be so much greater than I. And relative of Jesus, he actually baptized Jesus. And so needless to say, Jesus is really close to this man. And in this story, John the Baptist was actually requested to be beheaded and killed by a little girl because her mom was being a stinker and used her daughter to get ahead. So literally, get ahead. And so, get it? Wow, guys, I didn't even plan that joke. That's awesome. So proud. Cool. Well, so after this happened, the disciples, which are the 12 men that followed Jesus around all the time, literally slept at his feet and learned from him, went and buried the body of John the Baptist. And so they went to Jesus and was like, yo, like, bad news, like, you know, John's dead. Yeah. So naturally, Jesus was sad. And so I think there's a slide with the verses on it if the projector's still there. Oh, there we go. And so then in this story, when Jesus heard about this, he withdrew by a boat to a private solitary place. At least he tried to. Because in this story, Jesus tried to get away. But then when people heard that he was leaving, they followed him and chased him. And then he felt compassion and then continued to do work. So Jesus had to literally hop on a boat to get away from people. Like, I was just thinking, like, if I had to go through that much effort to get away from people, I just would, like, crawl in a hole. Like, that's like a lot of effort to get away from people. He literally hopped on a boat. So Jesus knew that amidst his busy schedule, something traumatic came and something that hit his soul. He really needed to begin to work on it. I would imagine he'd be grieving because it's his friend who passed away. And so he really needed to deal with the stuff of his soul. And he knew the importance of getting away to a solitary place and finding rest. Even though he was Jesus and he had a hard time getting away. Second story. So Jesus and the disciples went out all the time. They healed, they preached, they taught. This day in particular, Simon, one of the disciples, came up to Jesus and said, "My mother-in-law is really, really sick. You need to come heal her." And so in this one day, Jesus goes, heals this lady. And then it says they continued on healing people throughout the day because people caught word that this amazing healer was coming and laying hands on people. And they were raising from the dead. And demons were flying out of people left, right, and center. And it said that they did this until the sun went down. And so their day was packed. And if you guys ever have those days where you're literally up sun morning and then you like are working until you're like in bed, basically? None of you? Yeah? Yeah, okay, one of you. Yeah, sweet. Okay, I've definitely had those days where it's like 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. You're working constantly. So this is the day that Jesus and his disciples had. And it says, which will be the next slide as well, that the next day, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Guys, I do not get up when it's still dark unless I actually have to. So Jesus was the ultimate example. Like he went to bed very, very late the night before after a long day, and he chose to get up very early in the morning. And he left the house and went to a place where he could be alone, which is very hard for Jesus, as we know. He had to take a boat. And there he prayed. He literally sat there alone and just prayed and gave his soul the rest that he needed. And as you can see, that didn't last very long because Simon came running out and was like, "Jesus, everyone's looking for you. Like, where did you go? Why'd you leave us?" And I imagine this, like, I don't have children, and but I just imagine being a parent and, like, putting your kids to sleep, and then 2 hours later, they come running out of the room, and they're like, "Mom and Dad, I missed you." And they're like, "Go back to sleep. Like, I need some time alone." So, I mean, I don't expect any of you guys to have kids, but one day, maybe, you'll remember this. So that's what I envisioned Jesus going through. And so he was like, "Yeah, yeah, okay, like, let's go." And they continued out and did stuff. So, but the idea is Jesus partied all night and still got up to find rest. He was so busy, but still prioritized his soul in the midst of it all. Jesus was a man of very high demand, as you can see. And he forced himself out of bed when it was still dark in order for his soul to be with its keeper. He knew that he couldn't go through his day without rest for his soul. And then the last verse, this isn't a story, but just another example. From Luke 5, it says, "But Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed often." Man, Jesus shows us that amidst busyness that he really tries to get away from people. I think either Jesus was super introverted or he really knew the power of being alone and getting alone with God in order to deal with his soul. He needed to rest in the Father, and he knew that. So when I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of someone who really modeled this to me that's not just like the Lord, because obviously. So I thought of this lady named Karen. And Karen is a lady who lives in Vancouver. And I went out for coffee with her one day because someone suggested that I might really get along with her and that the stuff she was doing maybe would interest me. And so Karen lives in Vancouver. She lives in a house, and her ministry is basically to the people of her street. She refuses to use the word busy. She just lives in this house, gardens, and keeps her doors open to her neighbors who are very against Christianity, to say the least. And so she very much acts like a restricted access missionary. And she kind of explained her story to me as she used to be a full-time pastor at this really big church in Vancouver and lots of ministries, busy all the time. And she told me this one story of she was running off to go do some sort of church service. And her neighbor was like, "Hey, Karen, like, you're running around all the time. Like, I never see you." And it hit her in that moment that she was so, so busy that she never had time for people. She never had time for rest. She never had time to just stop and slow down and breathe. And so that compelled her. I'm not saying you guys should all do this, but that compelled her to completely quit her job and just do a ministry where she just dwelled and refuses to use the word busy because she sees the importance of a rested soul. And so she was one example that I thought of that really inspires me with this idea of rest. Maybe to the extreme, I'm not going to quit my job anytime soon. But yeah, I was just like blown away by people who are just so at ease all the time amidst busy lives. So Jesus not only modeled it, but he also commanded us to rest. So another story in the Bible, which I think another slide will come up. So the apostles, the disciples had just gone out like any good workers would do. They're trying to impress Jesus. They go out and do all the things that Jesus had ordered them to do. And they were so busy during the day trying to do everything that Jesus asked them to do that they did not have time to eat. And they came back and were like, "Jesus, we finished all that we did, you know, yada, yada, yada." And Jesus is like, "Great, awesome. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by a boat, again, to a solitary place. It's like the only way Jesus can escape is like, "Hey, they have a boat in the back." Like, yeah, I just imagine it being really like intense, like Mission Impossible, like, "Let's avoid the people." Like, but yeah, I just like, it's crazy to think like they were so busy that they did not have time to eat food. Like, have any of you guys ever gone through those days where you just forget to eat or you're just so busy that you're literally just, Miranda already put her hand up before I finish the sentence. Yeah, like I had that day recently. And so when I read this, I was like, yes, I have those days all the time. And so the disciples were really overworked. Like Jesus knew how to tell them to go work hard and they did. But at the end of the day, he was like, "Okay, awesome, good job. Just come be with me. Come sit in silence with me. Let's go to a quiet place." Like, he didn't say, "Come and chat with me. Come and, you know, party with me. Come and do squats. I don't know." He just said, "Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest." And so I just imagine Jesus bringing them and being like, "Okay, now we're just going to sit and do nothing. I'll put my timer on." But like, that's the idea of he's just like, "Get some rest for your soul. Just sit with me. Be in my presence." And instead of hurrying off to the next to-do item, because you bet there was other things they could do, Jesus took the disciples to a solitary place to get rest instead. And people might even be asking, "But Jesus, like, why are you trying to avoid everyone and go alone? There's so many souls you could be saving." But Jesus knew the power of a rested soul. And even some of you guys might be saying, "You have no idea how many assignments I have, how many labs that I have, the social life that I'm pretending I have." Like, you might be listing all these things, but like nothing will get done if I just stop and do nothing. Like, that's so dumb. But, you know, like I said, Jesus knew the power of a rested soul. He knew that nothing he did mattered if he wasn't connected to the Father. Nothing he did mattered if he wasn't connected to the Father. And being busy in university is an inevitable thing. You're not going to not be busy in university. That is like an oxymoron. You will have courses, you will have labs, you will have assignments, and for some of you, maybe a social life, if you can. There will always be people and things demanding your attention here at school, but what if I told you it would make a world of a difference if you went through this semester actually giving your soul some rest? It could be the difference between having a stress-filled midterm season or a peace-filled midterm season, and yes, those exist. What if we just stopped, slowed down, took a breath, and did nothing alone? The world would still turn. You see, Jesus commanded rest because he knew the difference that it would make. So some of you guys might be saying, "Well, how do I rest my soul then? That sounds all peachy keen." And so I'm going to tell you guys a really awesome analogy that a mentor of mine once told me, and it involves food. So you know it's a good one. And, you know, in your weeks, you have different rhythms of your life. So rest and spending time with Jesus looks different in different seasons that you have. So you have semesters, you have weeks, you have days, and you can add rest and peace to all these different rhythms. So this analogy goes snacks, meals, and buffets. So I'll explain those. You can put the snack one up. Did you guys ever drink milk to go as kids? That was like the first thing I thought of. I remember all the time I'd go to like the gas station and like always want a milk to go. But the point is the milk to go is like you're taking it on the go, right? Snacks or to go. Cool. So I'm glad you got that. Awesome. Well, snacks with God are in the seasons where you have maximum busyness, which for me, I would put my snack season in September. You know what yours is. Maybe it's exam season. Snack seasons are where you're not really able to enjoy hours of in-depth theological study and then a two-hour nap and then killing the day with your imaginary friend. Snack seasons are short. They're minimal time consumptions. A snack season could mean waking up in the morning and spending your first 5-10 minutes with Jesus. We all have time for snacks, don't we? We love snacks. We take snacks on the road. We take snacks to our bedrooms. We take snacks to our exams. We all love our good snacks. A snack season could look like every time you commute to school, if that is the only time you have to spend with God, it could be pushing all the other things you have to do out of your mind while you're driving to school and just thinking about God the whole time and asking him to bring peace throughout the day. That would make a difference. Or it could be like while you're brushing your teeth in the morning, you're reciting all the memory verses that you know that like promise peace and rest. Snacks could be taking your mind off of all that you have to do for 1 minute and putting your energy into thinking about Jesus and finding rest that way. The point is, snacks are not consuming, but help us get through the day. Am I right? Finding time to snacks help us rest our souls amidst busyness. A good snack gets me through the day. I don't know what your favorite snack is, but I put carrots up there because I sometimes snack on carrots. So I don't know what your favorite snack is, but you can find what that is with the Lord. The second one is meals. So you can put the meal one up. Cool. So that's lasagna. I don't know if you can see it. That's some sort of meat. It's like a full course meal, right? So your meal season with God, these are in seasons of like moderate busyness where you're not like super, super busy, but you're also not like having buckets of time to spare. So I would say this is like my normal healthy rhythms of life. Like my moderate busyness would be like, you know, your average, you know, you're going through your day. These are times where you actually have a chance to sit down and eat a meal, not just like snag some Tim's on your way to class, but this is where you actually like meal prep and like buy some groceries and chop up the lettuce and fry it with some meat. Like you actually have time to cook something. That's the idea. I don't know how you make food. I actually hate cooking. So. So the point is a meal actually takes some like cooking unless you just like smother peanut butter on bread. I don't know what you make, but you have some time to prepare the meal, and then you have some time to just sit there and enjoy it with like a glass of milk, some tea, some water. That was a long way of explaining this, but meals with God are just this, where you're able to have an hour or so in your day to spend concentrated time either in scripture, sitting in God's presence, and just breathing and allowing yourself to rest. I don't like cooking. I said that. Yeah, I wrote that in there. Yeah. But the point is, if you don't like cooking, you need the nutrition. You need to cook. Otherwise, you're just eating fast food, right? There's nothing good about fast food. The point is that meals are not hours long or days long, but they are able to, they help you stay rooted in Jesus and is where you find rest. And we can only last on snacks for so long. The days where I only eat snacks, I do feel very hungry by the end of the day. Okay, my favorite one, the last one. Buffets. Have you guys seen Elf? This is him like stuffing his face with spaghetti. Anyways, I thought that. I laughed really hard when I saw that. I typed in buffets and that was like the first photo that came up. So anyways, enjoy. So buffets with God are in seasons of plenty where you have buckets of time. For me, that would have been my summer where all of you guys are at home and UCM's a lot more slow. This is where you actually have time to slow down and rest. And I love buffets, all you can eat, like sushi, Chinese, pasta, you name it. I love it. Our souls also love a really good buffet. Did you know that? Seasons of buffets is when we can really focus in on our souls and our relationship with God and rest. And for some of you guys coming to the UCM camp retreat, that is a great example of a buffet you're going to indulge in this weekend, spiritually, with your soul. If you didn't come, that's okay. There's another one in January. Just, yeah, you can come to that. But that's just one example of what a buffet for your soul could look like. It could look like turning your phone off for a full day when you have a Saturday that you're not actually doing school and you have the time to do it. And it could just mean going out into nature and spending time in God's presence. But stopping and resting and doing nothing in Jesus' presence can be one of the most spiritually growing experiences that you can have. Buffets are really good for the soul, but you can't really have them at every meal. It's not practical. You can't eat them every day. And if you do, I'm very impressed or concerned for your stomach. Both metaphorically. Just metaphorically. If you can have them every day, that's awesome, but that could be laziness. And you know what? This practice is actually really hard for us. When I was in school, I went to a Bible college, so we had prayer rooms. And so I actually tried to go into the prayer room and just like do nothing. I would leave my phone with my roommate and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to the prayer room. And I remember the first time I did this, I was like pacing back and forth in the room, like laying upside down, like trying to figure out what to do with my thoughts and my mind. And I remember like feeling so accomplished because I was like, great, I'm done. I was going to do half an hour. I came back into the room and my roommate like looked surprised. And I looked at my phone and it was like, I was in there for 3 minutes, guys. 3 minutes. It was awful because like you can hear everyone having fun and you're like, FOMO, I just have to sit here in silence with the Lord. That's okay. But, you know, it was really hard to do at first. But eventually, you know, I realized that it allowed God to tap into my soul and actually speak into it. And I felt like I could actually remove myself from all that I had going on and really tap into peace. It can be a struggle to begin, but once you begin the practice, you realize that it's actually really good for you. And it's kind of fun. So, and I don't know if you guys are new to this idea of rest or this kind of soul care. So, you know, you got to figure out your next step for yourself. Some of you guys might have heard this stuff growing up in the church, if you guys did, and this might not be new news to you, or it could be really new to you. So you guys have to figure out what your next step is for you and what kind of snack, meal, or buffet things you want to add to your life. Yes. And finally, Jesus not only examples rest for us, he not only commands it, but he also offers rest for our souls. Fancy that. Anyone see that coming? Pretty cool. So I don't know if you know this, but our souls really crave rest. And our souls were made to rest in God. And this last verse here we'll throw up on the board. It's kind of Jesus' invitation for him to give us rest. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One commentator says that rest should actually be better translated as relief. That Jesus does not promise his followers a life of inactivity or freedom from sorrow or struggle, but he does assure them if they keep following him and live life close to him, that they'll be relieved from crushing burdens or crippling anxiety or frustrations. Jesus offers relief from our stress for assignments, for pressures that school brings. Jesus explains that a rested soul is an easy burden to bear. And easy is not a word that will change your circumstances. Your assignments will not magically float away from you if you start to rest. And your classes will not magically burn down and you won't have to do them. But your soul posture will begin to change. And your ability to be able to conquer these difficult tasks in these long days will actually begin to grow. Your capacity for tackling these things will grow. And Jesus did the hard work for us on the cross, so that we can just rest in his presence. His spirit is active and alive today, and he longs to be near us. Some of you guys might have heard that a lot, but I feel like sometimes we go stale to hearing that. Jesus not only makes himself available, but he actually wants to hang out with us. How crazy does that sound? The God of the universe is like, dude, just come sit with me in silence. And we're too busy to acknowledge him sometimes. God wants to snack with you. He wants to go to work with you. He wants to bring peace to all your classes. Jesus pines after you, and he begs for you to just take a breath and acknowledge that he's there with you. And guys, this may surprise you, but Jesus is a fun friend. I don't know if any of you guys have heard that before, but I think a lot of times we look at hanging out with Jesus as this like drawing on long process. But guys, Jesus is so fun. Like, yeah, think of Jesus as fun and then maybe you'll enjoy his presence. He does not want you to feel drained or stressed every day. He wants to come to bring you rest, joy, comfort, and peace. He's available for everyone. You only need to be still and know that he is God. And this challenge for rest isn't easy. Finding rest, solitude, means dealing with the knots that are inside your soul. It means tackling the sins in your life that need attending to. It means being quiet and rubbing up against our cultural norms of always being busy. I want to tell you that if you go through the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, however long you're here for, years of university, and never stop to do nothing, that your soul will suffer. So stop, breathe, do nothing. It will be okay. Can you imagine what your friends will say about you come exam season and you're the crazy one that's at peace? Might be kind of cool. Do you know my friend Jesus? So Jesus offers rest for our souls, so it would be fools not to take it. And so I was going to make us sit in silence again, but I'm not going to. But that's my challenge for you guys. Sit in silence. It might only be 1 minute. It could be like 3 minutes. But give your souls some rest. So I'm just going to close in prayer and then pass it back off to Josh. So, Jesus, I thank you so much that you are a fun friend. I thank you so much that you ask us nothing in return but to just come sit in your presence and regain strength from you. I thank you that you're a God who doesn't let us go through stressful lives without giving us relief, without giving us breath. I pray that you'd help us acknowledge you throughout the day, that if we're walking to class, that we'd remember to snack on you, that, you know, if we have an extra hour before bed, that we'd be able to shut off Netflix and actually indulge in a good meal with you. I pray that we'd recognize when we can go have buffets with you and actually give our souls rest. I pray that we will not go through these next years of school feeling stressed, Lord. I pray that your peace would encompass us all and overwhelm us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.